This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing.
Greetings for Life Rich Books. This is J. Douglas Barker. The book is titled An Angel's Tale. T-A-L-E, the behind-the-scenes look at salvation history. And joining me from near Detroit, Michigan, is the author, Francis Angelis. Francis, welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Your book is a little bit different from what I anticipated. How would you describe, what type of book is this? What was the motivation behind it?
It's clearly a work of fiction. You know, I don't claim any knowledge beyond what's available in Scripture, but it tends to follow Scripture, and I kind of like fill in reasonable blank.
Right. So it's a fictional work, but it does have a spiritual leaning or emphasis.
Yes, yes.
When you began to write this, what motivated you to do so? I mean, is this something that has been a lifelong passion of yours to understand Scripture and understand spiritual things, or is this something that just came to you and you decided, you know, this would be an interesting tale to share?
Well, it kind of stems out of a question that probably most people have asked. It's raised equally by children and philosophers. You know, why is there evil? I used to tell my children that there's evil because Adam and Eve blew it. They were given a free choice and they made the wrong choice. You know, and they would say something like, well, then why did God make Adam and Eve? Why did he make Satan? You know, those kind of follow-up questions.
Hmm.
And, you know, I would say something like, well, he made them, gave them the opportunity to make the right choice, but they didn't. And evil is a consequence. And then they'd say something, well, if God knew Satan was going to tempt them, if he knew they were going to mess up, why did he, why? You know, and that question, why, permeates all of history.
It does, and it's certainly a question not only children have, but adults as well. The idea of a loving God who would create a being or an individual or a species that would, by nature, make wrong choices. This is a very interesting philosophical and, for some, a spiritual question and quest that they spend their lifetime trying to get a grasp of. When you began to write this and thought about these complicated and yet important questions, how long did it take to write? What was the motivation behind it? You wrote this to appeal to whom?
Well, you know, it took me a long time to write it because I started writing it when my kids were little. Time involved with raising kids kind of put it on the back burner. And, you know, I've got kids now who are adults, and I've just finished the book. So it took a long time. But the book stems from a belief that God doesn't make mistakes. There's a Psalm 139 in the Judeo-Christian scripture that talks about that before we were born, God knew us. He knew all our acts. And at different times in my life, I found comfort in the fact that no matter how bad I messed up, God knew I was going to mess up, but he loved me enough to create me anyway.
Hmm.
And if that's true for me, it's true for everybody. It was true for Adam and Eve, and it even was true for Satan. And that's kind of where the genesis of the book started. It says somewhere in Scripture, and I'm not a Scripture scholar, but it says that evil exists as part of God's plan. I mean, it's not God's intention, but it exists. It exists, and God knows about it.
Yes. Did you have any difficulty in putting the thoughts to paper? This is a book that is over 100 pages. It's 171 pages. Did you have an outline that you worked from, or were you working from just personal inspiration? How did you go about the process?
Well, I wanted to be true to Scripture as much as I could. So this is kind of where again, I don't want to get into a bunch of theology, but if there's no plan B, God knew that Adam and Eve were going to mess up and Satan was the cause and God was going to have to fix it, he was going to send a savior. And in theological terms, that's called proto-evangelium, I think is how they say it. And it's the first promise of a savior. Well, if God was going to have a savior, he had to have a people from whom the savior would come. And that's the story of the patriarchs in the Old Testament. And so I kind of chose incidences in the Old Testament to see how even Satan's manipulation where it turns out that it's not really what God wanted, can kind of move God's plan along.
The book itself, because of it being a fictional work based on inspiration, I will say, was there a scene in here or were there scenes that you enjoyed writing and feel will stand out to the reader?
I think probably there's two judgment scenes in the story, and they occur early on in the story, and they might seem out of place where they're at because but there's a reason why I put it there is because those judgment scenes are why everything else happens. There's a contrast between the two if you were just to look at them. And I think that's ultimately why I wrote the book is there are any number of reasons why people don't believe in God. Many of them can be traced to an event that they or a circumstance that in their lives, right? Something happened and they blamed God for it or
yes.
You know, whatever. And I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Braveheart. But near the end of that movie, Mel Gibson's character, William Wallace, is being tortured. And he's offered a chance at mercy if he would just admit the lordship of the King of England, and that mercy would come in the form of a quick death rather than torture. And for Christians, the mercy comes by admitting God's lordship over us. And I think that kind of is important to me. Scripture says that, you know, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Well, you can either bow as a willing subject or a vanquished foe. The Catholic Church teaches that fallen angels and the devil's rebellion are irreversible, but they will only bow as vanquished foes. But we humans have an opportunity to do so before our death, and that's, I'm hoping that if a person can see their own struggle as part of some greater plan, like Job did in the Bible, then maybe that won't be an obstacle for them to believe in God. In the end, God gave us free will because that's really the only thing we have to offer Him. Everything else is His. The only thing we have to offer God is our free will.
Francis, how would you introduce this book to my listeners and get them interested in getting a copy?
I would say the book examines the apparent contradiction between the existence of an all-knowing and all-powerful God, one that's loving, and in the face of evil in the world. My book offers an explanation to the question, how could an all-knowing God allow Satan to successfully tempt Adam and Eve? So you raised this earlier.
Are there other books in the marketplace similar to this? I know that C.S. Lewis was sort of in this vein. Would you say your book covers some of the same ideas or poses the same questions? Or how would you describe this? Is it similar or unlike others?
Well, I think there are a lot of books that explain why bad things happen. And a lot of them talk about it in terms of spiritual battle. But I think those books tend to take a look at it from a human's perspective. My book tries to offer an insight from God's perspective. I don't presume to know the might of God, and I'm reminded of the psalmist's caution not to seek to understand things that are too sublime or try to understand things beyond Him. But I know this. God's not surprised. He's all-knowing. Scripture makes clear that evil does not lie outside God's plan. Scripture says that the eye is not seen, nor the mind of man conceive what God has planned. So if it's not as I suggest in the book, it's even better. There's another book that's not really the same thing. I don't know if you've heard John Irving. He's an American novelist. He wrote something like, The World According to Garp, Cider House Rules. But he also wrote a book called A Prayer for Owing Meaning. Hmm. And it's not particularly a religious book, despite its title. But without spoiling the ending of that book, the character in that book reached a similar conclusion to what I am trying to express, that things happen for a reason, and even if we don't know what the reason is, we can find comfort in the knowledge that there is a reason.
And is that really the underlying message you want to convey? And do you think someone who doesn't have necessarily a religious bend or a spiritual bend would find this adaptation interesting and challenging?
I would hope so. Like I said, I try to be faithful to Scripture, but I don't think that my reference to Scripture is so overwhelming that someone who doesn't have a knowledge of Scripture or even doesn't even have a certain belief in Scripture could not follow the story and see how it progresses according to God's will, whether they believe in God or not.
Excellent. When does this take place, the story that you've created or crafted?
It's an interesting question. It takes place in the eternal now because God's in the eternal now. In a prologue, I talk about there's an interplay between a God who knows everything and is not bound by time with us humans whose time is linear. So from God's perspective, it's happening in the eternal now. From a human perspective, it traces the fall back in prehistory up to the 33 A.D. when Christians believe Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead.
Excellent. So it would be more historical in its at least texture in how you've crafted this, the angel's tale. Now, was there challenges in getting this done? You mentioned it took a number of years because of other things that interrupted your flow of creativity. Did it take a long time? Were there other challenges beyond that?
Yeah, I think that I tried to be faithful to Scripture, but I needed, in order to present the conflict between Satan trying to disrupt God's plan and God knowing that it's not going to work, I had to extrapolate to make Scripture more richer for a reader who wasn't necessarily just familiar with Scripture. And like I said, I can't know the mind of God, but it's presumptuous to put words into his mouth. But I believe that the picture of God that I presented is consistent with the image of God revealed in Scripture. So I'm comfortable there. But I'm also acutely aware of what I'll call the wound of the body of Christ. There's division among Christians, and I can't help but allow my upbringing, which is Catholic, to kind of have a flavor in the book. But I tried really hard to minimize any difference to assure that the book could be enjoyed across the spectrum of believers and non-believers.
Very good. The book, again, is titled The Angel's Tale, T-A-L-E, a behind-the-scenes look at salvation history, and it's a fictional work, my author, Francis Angelus. Francis, where can my listeners get a copy of this?
They can find it on Amazon.
And listeners, you can also request it from your local bookseller by name, The Angel's Tale, and by the author, Francis Angelus. The other possibility would be to look at Barnes & Noble. Just do a search online. You'll find that book located at these other booksellers. Good. And they can do a search under your name, Francis, F-R-A-N-C-I-S, and Angelus, A-N-G-E-L-I-S, and find out more details about this particular work and anything that might come in the future. Francis, thank you for sharing your story. It was this is an interesting book, and I think anybody who has a curiosity about spiritual things or just wants a good read will enjoy their copy of it, The Angel's Tale. Francis Angelus has been my guest. Thank you, sir, for joining me today and sharing your story.
Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. For Life Rich Books, this is J. Douglas Barker.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing. Join us again next week at noon Eastern.